from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Real, real good. Corey LaJoy, thank you for asking. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. Great to have you, Rob and Lonzo. Happy Thursday, my dudes and dudettes. Everybody's working for the weekend, including, of course, Lonzo and I. You want to be a part of the show? Do it. 844-326-3663. That is the number to the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone. 844-326-3663. You can text us. The text line is open for you this AM at 71307, 71307. So, Alex Saar comes up drafted last night, Zoe, and the hat matched the suit. In fact, most of these guys ended up matching their suits to the hats, but, like, not great draft hats last night, man. I'm a big draft hat guy. See, not great draft hats.
How do we know, because they have the hats standing out there, how do we know that there were several different colored hats, and the people looked at the suit they was wearing.
Oh, every hat was khaki. Every hat was khaki. Every hat was khaki.
Okay. Yeah.
They were all khaki with a team color stripe across the front.
I thought they were kind of boring, and that's just proof.
They were. It's not a great hat. For those of you that don't know this about Rob Brown, big hat guy. All right, big hat guy.
Watch one of the videos from home.
Yeah. I probably got legitimately. Let me put it this way. I packed last night because I'm leaving right after the show today. I packed last night. I had to break out the big suitcase because for the 3 days I'll be gone, I'm bringing like 7 hats. Because you never know. Yeah, I never know which one I'm going to need, right?
Okay, why does that necessitate a bigger... hats don't take up that much space.
Because the hat's got to go on the top because I can't have them like smushed in the
bag.
But
you can put them on top of each other.
They are, but I have it set up so it, the suitcase stands up and all the clothes, the shoes are at the bottom, then all the clothes, and then the hats are out on top. And, oh, by the way, if anybody lays my suitcase flat, they're going to catch these hands because you're going to smush my hats up, and I can't have that.
Wow.
Big hat guy.
Wow.
All right? Which is why I was a little disappointed in the draft caps last night. Little boring, little snoozy from the NBA. All right, not a great look. We'll talk NBA draft throughout the course of the show today. Some other things I want to get into, because yesterday there were a lot of opinions bantied about the Carolina Panthers, and I would like to get to those over the course of the show today. Rashad Beard coming up at 8:40. We will throw some of those opinions at him, get his thoughts, get his opinions on him. We will also talk at 8 a.m., just a little under 1 hour from now, with Rick Wright, the head coach of the Greenville Triumph. The Triumph just about halfway done with the USL League One regular season. So we'll check in with Rick, see how he's feeling about his first year at the helm. Now about 50% concluded, now that he's settled in, now that he is comfortable. How's that team feeling? How's that team feeling for the new head coach? We'll talk to Rick Wright coming up in an hour. Rashad Beard at 8:40. And, of course, it's Thursday. You know what that means. Fight Club with the great Alonzo coming up at 9:20 this morning, where we will take a look at the world of MMA, professional boxing, and professional wrestling. That's all at 9:20. All of those things coming up, but right now, it's just after 7 a.m. You, my dear friends, find yourself less than 56 minutes away from having to get to the office, get locked in. I'm assuming some of you still have to use like an old punch clock on the wall. Do you ever have to do that, Lonzo? The one you slide your card into it and it...
Dude, how old am I?
I don't know if you're old enough to have used the punch card.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. Several different jobs that no longer exist.
Fair enough. I never had to use a punch card, all right? So I was just curious. But you're going to punch in. You're going to respond to those passive-aggressive emails from the boss.
If you didn't do it right, the ink would blur.
Yeah.
And
then you got in trouble for...
No, then you got paid less because they're like, well, I thought it said this.
Labor laws, man. Labor laws.
Yeah, they don't work when you're like 17 and going, yeah, but... And you still... it just doesn't work.
When you get to the office and you respond to those passive-aggressive emails after you argue about the ink splotch on your time card, you're going to need to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you need to know what's going on in the world of sports, well, I have wonderful news for you. And that wonderful news is that we, right now, we're going to do this. It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this a.m., and start talking sports with your amigos. Let us dive right in with item number one. The NBA draft took place yesterday evening. The Atlanta Hawks had the number one overall pick. First time in the history of that franchise that they have had the number one overall selection, and they utilized it on French professional Zachary Risage. The 6'9", 195-pound power forward comes over after a professional year in France. A high-motor, high-competitive player, versatile defensively, phenomenal overall feel for the game, but a player that does not necessarily have the size. He will need to bulk up from that 195 if he's going to play a four. Otherwise, he's playing a stretch three hybrid four. And I don't know that that's the game that his game is suited for. He is still early in his development as a shot creator. He is going to have to work on the moves necessary to begin to develop the ability to develop his own shots and then use that opportunity to open up the floor for others. Played kind of a narrow role for his French team last season. There are his questions about usage in the game. What can he do outside of be a highly competent defender? And as Trey said a little while ago, talking about the Hornets, some teams just don't have defensive capability. Risage adds that defensive capability to the Atlanta Hawks. Question is, can he add points on the other end? Because that is something the Hawks have lacked from the four spot, is somebody that can add points on the other side of the floor. So I am intrigued as to how he contributes in the NBA when the straight up solo scoring isn't necessarily there. And yes, as a four in Atlanta alongside Ice Trey, I need that. I was not surprised by the pick, because what you can say about Risage is that I watched a little bit, not as much as I did for the Hornets pick, who we'll talk about here in a second. I watched a little tape on this cat. The man dramatically improved from week one to the end of the season. I mean, like notably improved in most aspects of the game last year. What I will say is I am going to need to see him both bulk up a little bit as well as become a threat in the open court, because right now he's not. Right now he's a very average open court player. And so I'm going to need him to pick that up just a little bit. Down with the sixth overall selection in this draft, you found Tajon Salon being picked up by the Charlotte Hornets, a physically gifted power forward who does have at 6'9", the length, at 220, the frame. As a shot maker and defensive player, the versatility that you are looking out of a lottery selection, but there are some spots that need to be fixed up. He lacks a lot in terms of ball handling ability. He lacks a lot in terms of being, again, another guy in this mold, an open court threat, a guy that you can kick out to and put him on the wing and trust that he is going to make something happen. He's not there yet. However, and this is part of the reason Tajon Salon is not, to me, a wasted lottery pick. He's 18 years old. He's played 1 year of professional basketball in a French league. There's a lot of opportunity here. Tajon Salon might have been, of the lottery selections, Tajon Salon might have been the highest potential guy that certainly was available at six, maybe one of the highest potential guys in this draft as a whole, right? I look at Stephon Castle, point guard out of UConn, a guy that Mario loves right now. That's a 6'6 point guard who plays the point like a 6'3 point guard. I mean, a phenomenal point guard. But I think Stephon Castle, who is going to get better, isn't going to get a lot better. I mean, he played at UConn. They won back-to-back natties. He's about as good as he is capable, I think, of being. And because of that, I like the pick. I don't love the pick. Ron Holland II out of the G League Ignite. Big, physical, 6'7" shooting guard. Wildly aggressive with the basketball. But poor decision maker. A guy that's known for forcing up shots that he probably shouldn't force up. A guy that is known for making the wrong pass more frequently than the right one. And I'm not saying he can't develop, but I'm saying a guy who, after a couple of years of developmental basketball, still has a role, still has a reputation for being a poor decision maker, it's real difficult for me to think that he's just going to suddenly develop into a guy who sees the court the right way. Tajon Salon's problem is not seeing the floor. It's not making smart decisions with the basketball. Tajon Salon's problem is quite the opposite. It's that he does see the floor, and it's that he does understand shot selection and pass lane selection and all these other things. Tajon Salon's issue, if there is one, is that he just hasn't developed the correct motor skills. And I don't mean that in the simplest terms. I mean in terms of a basketball player. But again, he's 18. He has played one season of professional basketball. I trust that I can develop that in him more than I think some of these other guys' issues can be developed the way that you would need to. Tajon Salon, a 6'9" power forward out of France, is headed to Charlotte as their six overall first round selection. Let us get to item number two. I usually don't do one baseball game as an item on the water cooler cheat sheet, so instead, let's do two. Bravos had a game against the St. Louis Cardinals that was rained out on Tuesday, so they made it up as part of a doubleheader yesterday, a split doubleheader with a game night matchup. The Bravos would have needed both in order to claim the series at a suddenly resurgent St. Louis Cardinals, by the way. A team that was 7 games under .500 like 2 weeks ago finds themselves now, after taking 2 out of 3 against Atlanta, a couple of games above 500 and closing in on Atlanta for that number one overall National League wild card spot in game number one. You got another solid effort out of Reynaldo Lopez, who has been very good for Atlanta. Went five innings, gave up four hits, two runs, both earned, four bases on balls, and five Ks overall. His ERA stays at 1.7. It's about as good as you can ask for out of a pitcher at this point in the game. Jared Kelenic went 3 of 5, including a dinger with one on and one out in the sixth inning. It's not going to stop. Sorry, bud. You're going to wear the vinyl off of that play track.
It's all right.
Ozzy Albies, 0 for 4. Guy is struggling. Ozuna, 0 for 5. Not what you're used to. You did get a two-hit day out of Austin Riley. Did not result in any RBIs, but he did score later on off of a Sean Murphy hit. He went 1 for 3. A good first game and a 6-2 win for Atlanta, but they turned it around and they ran it back at night, and the offense disappeared again. Six hits for Atlanta in game number two. Bryce Elder tagged with the L, primarily because the Braves only utilized two pitchers in this one. You got six innings out of Elder. He gave up just four hits, two runs, both earned, only K'd four. But again, only four hits through six, about as good as you could ask for. They ended up going to the pen for the final two innings and went with Grant Holmes, who gave up four hits and two runs, both earned as well. But it was Elder who got tagged for the L in this one as the Braves fall 4-2-1 in game number two. That sets Atlanta up to stay around where they have been. With that 10 games over 500 record, they are 44-34 through 77 matchups. They have so far hovered around 7-9 games behind the Philadelphia Phillies in the NL East. Now, good news, bad news. Good news, Braves have been very good at the trade deadline the last couple of years. Good news, there's a lot of good players that are going to be on the market. Good news, Atlanta has one of the seven, I think, easiest Major League Baseball schedules after the All-Star break, whereas Philly has one of the most difficult schedules after the All-Star break. Bad news, while there are going to be a lot of players on the market, there's also primarily buyers on the market. If Atlanta wants to add a name, be it a Luis Robert from the White Sox, a Randy Arozarena from Tampa, if they want to add a bat somewhere, which they need to do at this point, if they want to add a bat somewhere, they're going to have to pay. They are going to have to pay. And that has not been the Braves' MO, even on a one-year rental in years gone by. It's been finding about value guys like Jacques Peterson, Jorge Soler. I don't know how many of those guys are going to be available, especially considering how many buyers are out there this year. We'll talk more trade deadline as it approaches rapidly. The trade deadline this year is set at, oh gosh, I don't remember what day it is. Whatever, I'll tell you. I'll remember later on. Point is, Braves got to make some moves. We'll see what they are. Let's get to item number three on the water cooler cheat sheet. One record set yesterday, and another guy who is doing something none of us thought was going to be done. We will start with Shohei Ohtani, DH for the LA Dodgers. He has bounced back and forth from the cleanup spot to the one hole in the leadoff spot and everywhere in between. Why? Because Shohei Ohtani is a guarantee at this point. Yesterday, in a game against the Chicago White Sox, the first sellout crowd of the season at Guaranteed Rate Field, Shohei Ohtani recorded a second consecutive first inning home run. But that's not the record, obviously. A lot of guys have done that. What Shohei Ohtani did is mark his 10th consecutive game with an RBI. That is a franchise record. And this is not like a franchise record for an expansion team that fired up sometime back in the 90s. No, no. This is a franchise record for the Los Angeles Dodgers. a very good team. A team that has rarely, if ever, been bad. A team that has some of the biggest names in baseball history amongst its alumni roster. Shohei Ohtani, the first Dodger to go 10 consecutive games with a ribby. It is a franchise record for Ohtani, who has now hit four RBIs against the White Sox in the three-game series. Nailed down his ninth straight game with an RBI Tuesday, making him the fifth Dodger to accomplish that. The first Dodger player to check off that box since Matt Kemp did it back in 2012. Here's my favorite part of this story before we move on to item number three, segment B. Shohei Ohtani was asked after the game was over, "Hey, Shohei, you're hitting the ball very well. Why?" And he said, "I'm just swinging at pitches that I'm supposed to swing at within the zone and making sure that I'm not swinging at pitches outside of it." Oh, that's just excellent work. Excellent work from Shohei. Second piece, very quickly, Aaron Judge, 30 home runs in his 82nd game this season. That puts him on the exact same pace that he was on a couple of years ago when he set the AL record for single-season home runs with 62. I did not think he was going to get back this year. He's back on pace this year. All right, we got some Carolina Panther thought we got to get to, some Clemson Tigers that we got to get to, some Atlanta Braves we got to get to, more NBA draft we got to get to, Copa America as the United States set to take on Panama this evening right down the road in Atlanta, Georgia. We're talking about all of that and more on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Give you a, I said yesterday that for some reason, there was just a ton of Carolina Panthers talk on the internet. I got home last night from the baseball game, sat down in the Bro Cave, fired up the old internet machine, and started putting the show together. Continued to put the show together for tonight. I'm never not putting the show together, okay? So, sat down last night. Scrolling through various sites across the interwebs yesterday evening, there was a lot of Bryce Young takes out there yesterday, a lot of Carolina Panther takes out there yesterday. Let's start with this one. This comes from Yahoo Sports NFL analyst Nate Tice. Nate Tice was talking about Carolina's draft selections and the roster building and Dave Canales and all that. And his biggest takeaway was this.
That perfectly describes me. A big, true, steady guy.
Who needs more steadiness around him to help him out?
I left that part out.
I don't know, man. Like, for the record, I don't disagree. Right? I don't disagree. It would have been very nice to have a genuine playmaker on the outside. Here's the thing. He mentions Mingo, and he mentions Leggett. Of course, we're always down to mention Xavier Leggett. He doesn't mention Deontay. He doesn't mention Deontay. And that's my problem with his tape, because I think that once you get to the point that you have added Deontay Johnson into the mix, I'm not saying that Deontay Johnson is you know, Justin Jefferson. But I can tell you this. When Deontay got sent to Carolina during the offseason, the Carolina Panther message boards had an influx of Steeler fans coming over going, you're going to like this guy. You're going to be a fan of this guy. This guy is steady. This guy is consistent. I'm not saying that the take here from Nate Tice is wrong. I'm saying I think it is a good take that's got to be evened up a little bit with the addition of Deontay Johnson. I genuinely think that there is a chance. I'm not saying this will happen. I'm saying there is a chance that at the end of this year, when we do our 2024 Carolina Panthers postmortem, when we do our 2024 National Football League postmortem, I'm saying that there is a chance that the pickup of Deontay Johnson is looked back on by analysts as one of the best pickups of the offseason. I think it may be looked back on as the move that really is the needle mover for Carolina. Now, that's not to say Deontay Johnson is going to have this team winning 10 games this year. I'm not there yet. But I do think at the end of this year, there is a very good chance that Deontay Johnson is going to be looked at as a top 7 wide receiver in the league. And I think if Bryce Young is going to be the guy this year, if Bryce Young is going to be the cat, if he is going to be the dude that fixes it and everybody looks and goes, oh, maybe what very much appeared to be a one-sided trade in favor of the Chicago Bears, maybe it wasn't that. Maybe we were a little quick to judge. Maybe it was the Matt Rhule holdovers. Maybe it was Frank Reich. Maybe it was Dave Tepper. Maybe it was all these things that Rob Brown said, you're kind of silly if you don't consider them as variables in the equation. Maybe not the solution to it, but variables in it. Maybe that was a problem. And if that is going to be the case, Deontay Johnson, as the wide receiver one, as the X, is going to be the reason why. No, I'm not saying that everything else Tice said after that isn't fair and accurate. I'm not saying everything after that is not true. Yes, stability is massively important, but I also don't think it's fair to say that they did not address anything. They went out and they got Damian Lewis. They went out and they got Robert Hunt. They were able to move Brady Christensen into a reserve role who adds depth. I suspect, though I could be wrong, I suspect that Ike Ekwonu is going to come out of the slump this year. I think he's going to come after the slump. He's going to come out of the slump. And if he comes out of the slump at left tackle, and you can kind of ease some of the pressure on Taylor Moton at the right tackle, I really do think it all comes down to Austin Corbett at center. Remember, he's a guy that slid into that spot. And if they can ease the pressure up on the tackles and you end up creating the pressure or moving the pressure over to Corbett at the guards role, well, I trust that a little bit better. Why? Because he has bumped up on both sides, left guard Lewis, right guard Hunt. He is bumped up by a pair of guys in that situation that are helpers, that are guys that can chip, that are guys that can be tactically schemed into helping pick up the pressure and force it away from Austin Corbett. And if that is the case, if that is the spot, I feel a lot better about the offensive line. If I feel better about the offensive line, I feel better about the run game. Is Chuba Hubbard the guy? And I do think the next position that has to be addressed is running back. Did they address it with Jonathan Brooks, the young man out of Texas, a guy who was running at a Heisman Trophy caliber pace before his knee exploded? Is Jonathan Brooks the guy that solves the Miles Sanders conundrum? The answer right now is, I don't know. The answer right now is, if he finished last season on the same pace that he started it with, had he been able to stay healthy and finish last season on the same pace that he started last season with, John Brooks would not have been available for the Carolina Panthers with their second selection. He would not have been there. He would have been taken off the board earlier. The only reason he wasn't was the injury and the concerns about rehab and making it back. Because there are some people who do not think John Brooks will be available for the beginning of the season, if not all the season next year, coming off that ACL injury. But my point here would be to Nate Tice that while I do not disagree with his take, I do think it's a little unfair to have that take and not talk about Deontay Johnson, not talk about Damian Lewis, not talk about Robert Hunt, not talk about the restock in the offensive line. In fact, if anything, I think that take is probably more fair regarding Carolina's defense than their offense, right? I think it is more fair to ask that question about the 3-4 defense than it is to ask it about Carolina's offense. In fact, if anything, Zoe, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think with the addition of Deontay, keeping Adam Thielen as a Y, adding Xavier Leggett, who is young and needs development, but is that explosive receiver, by keeping Tommy Tremble and ditching Hayden Hurst, who was not stable last year, I know there were injuries involved and a scary one at that, but by going back to Tommy Tremble, who is not blowing the doors off of anybody, but he is as consistent of a pass catcher at that position you'll find, and then by adding Lewis and Hunt at the two guard spot to ease the pressure on the tackles and the big man, I think they address stability, to be honest with you.
I agree. I'm not worried about the receivers as much as other people seem to be. I'm more worried about the offensive line and Bryce Young's feet being corrected. And if the offensive line is shored up and playing better, he won't get happy feet. If he has time and windows, as you pointed out, he can get the ball to the receivers, and we'll see what they can do. But it's more about offensive line and footwork to me.
I would agree. Offensive line was the number one question mark for me this offseason, and they addressed it. The addition of Lewis, the addition of Hunt, and you've got the other three guys you have question marks about. Ikwanwu's falling off, Moton being asked to do too much, and Corbett moving to a new position at center. You've now given all of these guys on either their left, their right, or both a stable spot they can lean on. I think they did address everything Nate Tice is worried about. We'll talk to Rashad Beard about it coming up in about an hour. We got to run to a break on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the program this AM. 864-448-3772. That's the renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone. Text us 71307. 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the show. Let's get a few more thoughts in here. Dan Wetzel Pat Forty and Ross Dellinger do a college football pod on Yahoo Sports. And yesterday I was listening to one from a few days ago where both Wetzel and Dellinger were talking about everything that is going on with the employment of college athletes, with the potential unionization of college athletes, et cetera, and why the lower schools really are in trouble. Now, we have pointed this out before. The lower schools are in trouble because the bigger schools have money. That's really it, right? I'm going to play you a couple of clips here. Back to back, and then we will address them because I really do think there is a way to boil all of this down, to simplify all of this. Let us start with Dan Wetzel. Dan Wetzel was speaking about the concept of colleges making athletes employees. He said, wouldn't it just simplify everything? So Wetzel says the easiest thing to do for the colleges, for the big colleges. Let's go back to the first take. He said, oh, you're telling me that this guy's going to be an NFL draft pick and I got to give him money? Yo, what's the deal with that? Well, again, the deal with that is nobody's watching if he's not. Nobody's watching if he's not. We as Americans have established that we watch only the best. Only the best. The UFL operated this year. Even I didn't watch it. And I'll watch anything. But even I didn't watch it. Because if it was up against Major League Baseball, the best, I'm watching that instead. If it was up against the NBA, only the best, I'm watching that instead. I said going into the UFL season, I very much plan on watching UFL football. I didn't watch a full game. I checked in on it every now and then. I got five TVs set up in the bro cave. Every now and then, a UFL game might have been on the TV. But if we're being honest, if we're keeping it a buck, the UFL games were on the TV when I didn't have four other baseball games to fill up those TVs. And that was pretty much it. When we had that little bit of a crossover between the end of the NBA season in the early portion of the MLB period, UFL got no time. Yo, there's like a handful of players from the UFL, as was expected, that have made their way onto NFL rosters. And that's going to be the case every year. It is the NFL G League, so to speak. So I fully anticipated that I was going to check in and I was going to watch it. I watched zero complete UFL games. To be honest with you, I can tell you the Birmingham Stallions won their third consecutive championship between the USFL and the UFL. And not a damn thing else about that league. Why? Because we watch the best. And that's it. So the reason that the schools that produce the most NFL draft picks are also the schools that are getting the payout money from the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, and the, I don't know, name me next business. I should have one prepared. Should have one in the chamber. And the Red Lobster 12 is because that's where the best players play, and that's what we watch, right? Even fans of smaller schools, even fans of D2 schools, of FCS schools, even those fans are watching when Georgia plays Alabama. Even those schools are watching when Michigan plays Ohio State. That's how it works. So the whole concept of, oh, he's going to the next level and I got to pay him. Yeah. You know who else pays that guy? The NFL. When he gets there. Right? Like, it's kind of the same setup. You're telling me he's going to be a draft pick and I got to pay him? Yes. So does the NFL. That's literally what they are getting paid for, is because by doing the thing that they do and it being something that we as a country love so much, football, we pay them for those efforts. We pay them for those services, right? That's why. Now, as far as the employment stuff goes, the stuff that Dan Wetzel got into the second half, I'm interested. He asked, why would these schools be against paying it? And Ross Dellinger had a couple of reasons. They definitely do not. That should be shocking to exactly and precisely nobody. They most certainly do not. Why do they not want athletes to be able to unionize? Because unionized athletes would have a hell of a lot more power than they have right now. Now, right now, the athletes have power in that the court system has so far, by and large, agree with everything that these players have said, have stated, have asked for. By and large, everything that the players have said is not fair and is not giving them the slice of the pie that they helped bake. The courts have agreed. If they unionize, now you enter a whole new world. And I am not an expert on union law or labor negotiations or anything like that. I'm not. What I can say is I've seen how the NFLPA works. I've seen how the NBAPA works. I've seen how the MLBPA works. And most of the time, they get what they want. Now, they got to make some sacrifices for it. That's why we got a 17-game NFL season instead of a 16. And that's why we're going to have an 18 instead of a 17 probably in the next 5 or 6 years. But unionized employees have a hell of a lot more power. And if the NCAA has already made all the changes they've made, what happens when now there is a labor unit that is pushing for them?
Well, what happens would be the biggest fear for fans and people in charge alike, and that would be a strike.
Absolutely a possibility. Absolutely a possibility. Strikes, lockouts, whatever you want to call them, those are absolutely on the table.
Well, if they're employees and it's a union, it's a strike. With picket lines and all that kind of thing, shutting down college football.
Which, again.
Yeah, but can you imagine that? That's, wow.
Can I imagine it? Yeah, I sure can. I sure can. I've seen it happen at the NFL, the MLB. Yeah, I've seen it happen in the NBA. I can absolutely imagine. You don't have to imagine it. We've already lived it. If you're my age, you've lived through a couple of strikes. You lived through a strike that effectively shut down baseball at one point.
Yeah, but not college football. Not college football.
Yeah, but this is one of those spots that I tell people, this is going to make a lot of folks uncomfortable. But that thought stems from the era where college football players were an asset to a school. And we're not, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make it sound super dramatic or whatever. But that is from a point in time where college football players were viewed as an asset to a school, not a person. They were an asset to the school, and they got whatever the school decided was fair to compensate them for with tuition and room and board and coaching in return for their services. But what is being argued now, as far as employment goes, I will say this. I am 1,000% in favor of outside NIL. 1,000% in favor that a kid should be able to start a YouTube channel and make money off of it. That a kid should be able to go around and play country music in bars at night and get paid for it. That a kid should, if Bob's Used Cars wants to give him the money to do it, put on a polo shirt, go down to the dealership, shake hands for an hour, and get $5,000 out of the deal. They've earned that by having talent and working to develop that talent. No issue with that. I do find the concept of making them employees interesting, and I'm curious because Wetzel said in that first clip, there's ways if you employ them, there's ways to stop them from getting outside NIL, which levels the playing field. It doesn't, though. It doesn't, though, because Ohio State can say, yeah, we're down to pay that $22 million a year. We're down to pay that. We're down to put 22 in the kitty and pay that. And if you take outside NIL off the table, then what happens? You think Ohio State can probably raise a little bit more money than the, I don't know, Ohio Bobcats? Yeah, for sure they can. For sure they can. Unionize, allowing the players to become employees, to me, doesn't do a damn thing to fix the problem. It doesn't change the playing field at all. It just changes, does the booster money go from NIL back to the college, or does it say split between the NIL and the college? And the reality is, unless you're Oklahoma, Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, whomst ever, unless you're one of those schools, you're fine. Or excuse me, you're screwed. If you're one of those schools, you're fine because the boosters are still going to come through. So I don't know. I like the conversation. I just think there's a lot of nuance to it we haven't hit yet. Next hour, we're going to open up with Rick Wright, head coach of the Greenville Triumph. Rashad Beard will join us shortly after that. Fight Club at 9:20. It's all coming up after Lonzo enlightens you, illuminates the world of sports unto thee with this sports flash.
I am your light amongst the sports storms. Yankee slugger Aaron Judge became the first major leaguer to reach the 30-home run plateau despite a 12-2 rain-delayed loss to the crosstown rivals Mets. Judge was responsible for both Yankee runs. The 30th home run comes 82 games into the season, putting Judge on the same pace he was on in 2022 when he finished with an AL record of 62 homers. Speaking of baseball, Dodgers designated hitter Shohei Ohtani has set another record, making a case for MVP as a designated hitter. Ohtani hit his second consecutive first-inning home run and recorded an RBI in his 10th consecutive game. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate. Of course, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
They definitely do not. That should be shocking to exactly and precisely nobody. They most certainly do not. Why do they not want athletes to be able to unionize? Because unionized athletes would have a hell of a lot more power than they have right now. Now, right now, the athletes have power in that the court system has so far, by and large, agree with everything that these players have said, have stated, have asked for. By and large, everything that the players have said is not fair and is not giving them the slice of the pie that they helped bake. The courts have agreed. If they unionize, now you enter a whole new world. And I am not an expert on union law or labor negotiations or anything like that. I'm not. What I can say is I've seen how the NFLPA works. I've seen how the NBAPA works. I've seen how the MLB PA works. And most of the time, they get what they want. Now, they got to make some sacrifices for it. That's why we got a 17-game NFL season instead of a 16. And that's why we're going to have an 18 instead of a 17 probably in the next 5 or 6 years. But unionized employees have a hell of a lot more power. And if the NCAA has already made all the changes they've made, what happens when now there is a labor unit that is pushing for them?
Well, what happens would be the biggest fear for fans and people in charge alike, and that would be a strike.
Absolutely a possibility. Absolutely a possibility. Strikes, lockouts, whatever you want to call them, those are absolutely on the table.
Well, if they're employees and it's a union, it's a strike. With picket lines and all that kind of thing, shutting down college football.
Which, again.
Yeah, but can you imagine that? That's, wow.
Can I imagine it? Yeah, I sure can. I sure can. I've seen it happen at the NFL, the MLB. Yeah, I've seen it happen in the NBA. I can absolutely imagine. You have to imagine it. We've already lived it. If you're my age, you've lived through a couple of strikes. You lived through a strike that effectively shut down baseball at one point.
Yeah, but not college football. Not college football.
Yeah, but this is one of those spots that I tell people, this is going to make a lot of folks uncomfortable. But that thought stems from the era where college football players were an asset to a school. And we're not, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make it sound super dramatic or whatever, but that is from a point in time where college football players were viewed as an asset to a school, not a person. They were an asset to the school. And they got whatever the school decided was fair to compensate them for with tuition and room and board and coaching in return for their services. But what is being argued now, as far as employment goes, I will say this. I am 1,000% in favor of outside NIL. 1,000% in favor that a kid should be able to start a YouTube channel and make money off of it. That a kid should be able to go around and play country music in bars at night and get paid for it. That a kid should, if Bob's Used Cars wants to give him the money to do it, put on a polo shirt, go down to the dealership, shake hands for an hour, and get $5,000 out of the deal. They've earned that by having talent and working to develop that talent. No issue with that. I do find the concept of making them employees interesting, and I'm curious because Wetzel said in that first clip, there's ways if you employ them, there's ways to stop them from getting outside NIL, which levels the playing field. It doesn't, though. It doesn't, though. Because Ohio State can say, yeah, we're down to pay that $22 million a year. We're down to pay that. We're down to put 22 in the kitty and pay that. And if you take outside NIL off the table, then what happens? You think Ohio State can probably raise a little bit more money than the, I don't know, Ohio Bobcats? Yeah, for sure they can. For sure they can. Allowing the players to become employees, to me, doesn't do a damn thing to fix the problem. It doesn't change the playing field at all. It just changes, does the booster money go from NIL back to the college, or does it say split between the NIL and the college? And the reality is, unless you're Oklahoma, Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, whomst ever, unless you're one of those schools, you're fine. Or excuse me, you're screwed. If you're one of those schools, you're fine because the boosters are still going to come through. So I don't know. I like the conversation. I just think there's a lot of nuance to it we haven't hit yet. Next hour, we're going to open up with Rick Wright, head coach of the Greenville Triumph. Rashad Beard will join us shortly after that. Fight Club at 9:20. It's all coming up after Lonzo enlightens you, illuminates the world of sports unto thee with this sports flash.
I am your light amongst the sports storms. Yankee slugger Aaron Judge became the first major leaguer to reach the 30 home run plateau, despite a 12-2 rain delayed loss to the crosstown rivals Mets. Judge was responsible for both Yankee runs. The 30th home run comes 82 games into the season, putting Judge on the same pace he was on in 2022 when he finished with an AL record of 62 homers. Speaking of baseball, Dodgers designated hitter Shohei Ohtani has set another record, making a case for MVP as a designated hitter. Ohtani hit his second consecutive first-inning home run and recorded an RBI in his 10th consecutive game. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, of course, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.